You're listening to AM 1080 and FM 95.1 KYMN Radio, streaming on kymnradio.net. My name is Rich Larson, and we are so very pleased and proud to be joined today by Northfield Fire and Rescue Service Firefighter of the Year, Mr. Sam Lane. Hey, Sam, how you doing?
Hi, Rich. I'm doing very well. Thank you so much.
I'm going to push that microphone much deeper into your face so we can, there you go.
No, it doesn't smell like the cow ones.
you can adjust it however you want to, so we can actually hear you when you speak.
All right.
So, firefighter of the year. How long have you been with NAFRS, Mr. Lane?
So I started with the fire department in 2017.
Okay.
I think it was September, just before. Maybe just before Jesse James days.
Okay. All right. What was the impetus for joining the fire department?
Yeah. So I've always kind of had a fascination with being a firefighter, much like a lot of children do.
Right.
You know, I was kind of moving around a lot after school, and I finally ended up back in Northfield. I had decided to settle here, and I was happy about that. And once I was here for about a year, I said, okay, yes, I'm going to stay. And now I can feel good about joining a fire department and with the knowledge that I'll be staying and in the community and working here. So.
Yeah. I don't think there's a lot of people who completely at least in the community completely understand what it takes to become a member of the Northfield Fire Department. How does that process work? What is the it's like a year long training.
Yeah. Well, it was across several years for my group. So, initially, you have to apply like any job and then there's a written test, an aptitude test, and you need to pass that. And then there's a physical tryout with a bunch of stations that test your physical ability to perform the duties of a firefighter. And once you pass that, then there's an interview process. And if you are selected and hired, then the real trial begins, and it's several training courses for becoming a firefighter, Firefighter 1 and Firefighter 2, and it covers all the firefighting basics, all of the general knowledge and physical skills that you need to have in order to put out fires. And then once you complete that, then you have to do medical training as well. In the Northfield Fire Department, we're all trained up to be emergency medical technicians. So first you must take a first responder training course that goes over the basics of life-saving medicine. And then after you pass that, there's the emergency medical or EMT training course. And then there's a national certification process after you complete the course that most of us take as well.
Wow.
Yeah, so it took me and my group and about 2 years, and it generally takes about a year and a half plus to,
wow,
to complete all that.
Wow, and how many people are there in the fire service right now?
There's somewhere between 30 and 35. I'm not sure of the exact number. We've just had some turnover lately, so
yeah. Yeah, you've had some turnover. You got a new chief.
We do, yes. Tom Nelson is our new chief.
How is he to work for?
Oh, Tom is great. Tom is really, really great. Very good leader, calm under stress, and has a good vision for how things should operate, and is very, very respected in our organization and the community. So I know that he'll do a great job, and I'm excited to have his.
So there's no worry about the guys falling in line behind him. They're all right there. Yeah. Guys and women. There's
yes,
a couple of
yes,
yeah.
yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Chief Hranick just had his his sort of farewell open house thing the other day.
Yes, he did. Yeah.
You want to say some nice things about Chief Rannick?
Oh yeah, Gary is great. I'm really sorry to see him go. But as I told him, all good things must come to an end, and I'm excited for him to be able to retire. I can imagine it'd be very difficult after being in the fire service so long. To not having that in your life must be a struggle. And so I hope he sticks around and comes and hangs out with us from time to time.
Right.
He was instrumental in getting me on the fire department. I expressed to him my interest before applying, and this was probably about a year before there were any openings. And I told him, you know, Gary, I'm very interested in being a North Hill firefighter. And he said, oh yeah, well, I'll look out for the opening and posting and stuff. And unbeknownst to me, a year later, there were openings, and Gary noticed that my name wasn't on the list of applicants. Mm. And so he came down to my office where I was working at the time and told me about the position. He said, you really should apply. And so I did that day, and I think I was taking the written test the next, like 2 days later or something like that.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. So he was instrumental in getting me on, and he's been very, a very wonderful leader and a great example, in my time as a firefighter.
That's great. But, yeah. And the amount of just time and service that man has given to Northfield is
incredible.
It's a little mind-boggling. He joined the service in like 1980 or something.
Yeah, something like that. Just, yeah,
yeah.
It was before I was born. That's
That's great. So you have been named Firefighter of the Year. And I'm going to ask you to, you know, ring your own bell a little bit here. What does that mean? I mean, when the department honors you as Firefighter of the Year, what are they saying about you?
Yeah, well, it's very flattering, and I'm extremely honored that to have received the award. And one thing I'll say is that in firefighting, we never do anything as an individual. It's all of what we do is a team effort. And so to be honored with the award is really a great great thing, and basically they're saying that they're recognizing my commitment and dedication and my efforts and within the department, and it's really awesome for me.
Yeah. It ought to be. That's a heck of an honor, man. That's
thank you
to be raised above. There's some pretty good people in the fire and rescue service right now, and to be singled out among that group, that's well done. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yes, yeah. I'm grateful to be surrounded by such a wonderful team of men and women. You know, we've got so much experience and wisdom and people who are willing to donate their time and go the extra mile to make the community a safer place is really awe-inspiring.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So you joined in 2017. At some point in 2018 or 2019, they started letting you come on calls, I assume, something like that?
So we could start coming on calls right away.
Okay.
I couldn't really do a whole lot, but right. It's really important to get that kind of exposure.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always something that you can do, right. Whether it's, you know, pulling hose or
right.
or know, carrying a person or something like
sure,
that. Yeah.
Sure, sure. In the 4 or 5 years you've been working, do you have any idea how many calls you've been on?
So I thought you might ask me that.
Oh.
I was looking at the numbers this morning. It's probably between 1,000 and 2,000 calls in the last 4 years.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, yeah.
I was thinking maybe 48 was going to
yeah.
be the number.
Oh, no. Yeah, it's over 1,000
to 2,000.
Sure. Yeah.
What are we missing? Like, what are the common calls you're going on? Because clearly you're not just waiting for a house fire or something.
Yeah. So we in addition to responding to fire calls, we also go to a lot of medical calls
sure.
For
okay.
the rescue squad.
Okay.
So We go to all sorts of incidents for fire and medical, car accidents. You name it. Anytime there's something crazy going on where people or property are in danger, then generally that we get sent out. So
I do feel like this summer, every time I would turn up at something where something was, anything was going on, I'd bump into you. There was a car fire down by my house, and there you were. And there was my daughter's apartment building caught on fire. And there you were.
You know, I was going to say something similar. You know, I kept seeing you at these scenes. Is there anything that you want to tell your listeners, Rich?
No. Man, sometimes they're just really slow news days. You gotta
Yeah. No, I'm blessed with the living close to the fire department, and so I've got a pretty good response time when I'm home, and my employer is very gracious with allowing me to leave during the day, so I have a lucky enough to have a high response rate to calls.
That's great. That's really cool. What are the most memorable? Tell me about a couple of the most memorable calls you've been on.
Yeah, well, definitely the Archer House is probably the one that takes the cake.
That was the first one where I bumped into you, actually.
Yeah.
You were one of the first people to figure out that the Archer House itself was on fire. Can you tell us the story a little bit?
Yeah, so, I was on the first truck to respond to that call, and it was... the second fire that I have been at in the Archer House, the first was the Chapati fire.
Right.
The fire started in the kitchen of Smokehouse. And I remember going in there and there was just so much water from the sprinklers going off that it was hard to tell, you know, what exactly was going on. And, you know, it took a little while to get into the wall to make sure that there was no fire in there. And so one crew was doing that, and I was had started walking the building, and was up on the second floor, and saw smoke coming from between the door trim and the wall.
Right.
And so kind of at that point, I knew that there was fire extension in the walls, and a building with that type of construction from that era is that's a really, really dangerous thing.
Yeah.
So yeah.
How much in training, how much do they teach you about building construction?
It's a significant component. The tactics that you use to put fires out really are affected by how the building is constructed and the contents of the building. So
sure.
it's a major component of what we learn. Yeah.
Right. And so you're through your training, you're able to figure out, ooh, we're in trouble here.
Yeah. And you know, it did also help having been involved in one fire in the building, because as part of our debriefing, you know, we talk about all that kind of thing, and you know, other people on the fire department had been present for other fires in that building as well. So,
anyone ever say in between the two fires after Chapati, you know, let's keep an eye out, let's keep an eye on this thing. I mean, there could be some things that maybe people in town aren't thinking about.
That's kind of the case with a lot of our buildings in town. You know, we always have these kind of plans in case of any kind of major incidents. So
you guys talk about that a lot. I mean, you guys talk about, it's not just, you know, it's funny. I guess a lot of people, I don't know the first thing about firefighting. I just know that you guys are super cool superheroes, and you show up with hoses and you put the fires out. But, and having watched, I mean, if that building was on fire, for the Archer House, I'm actually pointing. It's great for radio, pointing to the Archer House, or what used to be the Archer House now. Having watched you guys work, if that building was on fire for 24 hours, I probably had 10 hours of just watching you guys do what you do. And it really does look to be, there's a strategic element to what you're doing, and probably even a scientific element to what you're doing too. I mean, you guys are looking at physics, and you guys are thinking about angles and things like that. But I guess it just never even occurred to me that there would be, you know, meetings and debriefings and how do we take this information and use that in the future? That's
Yeah, and you know, most people are not aware of all of the proactive things that we do.
Right.
So most of the time, when people notice us is you know when we're reacting to an mm-hmm. incident, whether it's a fire or an accident or something like that.
Well, you're pretty loud in your.
We are. Yeah. So, but we do a lot proactively, whether it's things like pre-planning with new construction buildings or renovations or fire inspections. A lot of businesses and groups throughout town will have us do walkthroughs of their facilities from time to time to show us you know what they're doing, get a feel for the layout of the building. And get a tour of all the fire suppression systems and things like elevators and equipment and stuff like that. So
I mean, there are obviously fire codes. Are you guys in charge of enforcing that stuff in construction, or is there a fire marshal? I would think, but
yeah. So we do some fire inspections and things like that. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. All right. So what does it mean to you to be Firefighter of the Year, Mr. Lane?
Oh, it's like I said, it's always a wonderful honor. I to be recognized in such a wonderful group of dedicated people is a true honor. I couldn't have done it without the support of all my fellow firefighters and the leadership, and probably most of all, my wife Katie, who's been a huge support to me and the fire department. And it's definitely difficult to have a husband or a spouse who is on call 24/7, because it makes for a lot of interrupted activities and dinners and commitments and everything like that.
Especially when you get a little one still in diapers running around.
Too. Yeah, that's right. I have a 1-year-old son, Everett. We just celebrated his birthday, and he's just a happy little guy. And so it makes it more difficult, that's for sure. And Katie's been wonderful. A wonderful asset and to the fire department in her support of me.
Oh, but she's pretty great. Yeah. Well, listen, first of all, thanks for joining us today. And I just want to say, I've known you for a long time, Sam. And I think I knew you when you were just going off to college, and you've turned, look at you, you've gone from that little guy to an award-winning firefighter. And thank you for everything you've done. It's great to be your friend, sir. And we hope to, I don't know. It's just, thanks for everything you're doing for the city. How's that?
Thank you very much, Rich. And thank you very much for having me.
All right. See you later. Back to regular scheduled programming here on 95.1 KYMN, the one.